hello, Freedom River. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Guys, you gotta get the cheerful, you know, holiday, festive, joyful spirit. Christ is born. Hallelujah. And we are celebrating it. We are family because of that. Amen? Amen. So let's not stress out about gift buying and gift giving and all the parties. Let's just enjoy our family moments and joy. Amen? Even like as you go through the store and you see people, you see joy, you know, and you can spread joy. Today I was thinking like, maybe I should buy a little Starbucks card and just give it to cashier or something like that. Let's just think about how can we spread joy, right? So but first of all, we gotta carry it within us, right? So I'm just gonna pray over you. Okay, can I do that? Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, God, that you came. Thank you, God, that you found us. Thank you, God, that you gave purpose for our lives. God, thank you that you brought us here. And I just pray your joy. I just pray, God, your freedom. I just pray your love to just spring up in us, God, and through us in the season of Christmas, Lord, as we look forward, God, to celebrate together and each day, Lord God. And it's a gift of life that we have for every day till we see you face to face. And I just pray your joy over us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see. I'm so excited. Okay, so Wednesday, Women's Bible Study. Yay! Ladies, you're welcome. It's 9:30 at Starbucks, you know. It's a very holy place. So, you know, you come and you make it holy. Amen? So, 9:30, please come. Pacific and 106. Then we have early morning prayer this month. It will be not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. In a week and 2 days, we'll have 6 a.m. prayer. So put that on your calendar. 6 a.m. We are early birds praying. So prayer team training class starts January 7th. So now you can put on your calendar and know that every Tuesday now in next year, which will be in a few weeks. It sounds far next year, but in a few weeks. So plan ahead Tuesdays, 6:30 p.m. if you took Living Free class and you want to learn more, or if you already have taken prayer team training long time ago, you're still welcome to come. Amen. Okay, let's see what's woo! You guys, woo! We're so excited! I am excited! Okay, guys, Christmas party! Woo! We have special stuff! Uncle Dennis, can you come up, please? He's my uncle. Don't you see the resemblance? I'm totally red, you know. So, Christmas party, it's coming soon, December 19th, 6:30 p.m. It's on Thursday night. We will party as a family. Woo! People who pray together and eat together and party together, they stay together, amen? So, that's my theology. So, we will have an ugly Christmas sweater contest. Yeah. Come on. Okay, there will be prizes. So please wear something ugly. Not cute like with Rudolph. Something ugly Christmassy, okay? Do all the lights, do all the jingles and stuff, okay? You will win. I believe in you. And then we'll have a potluck. So please bring a dish. And then you were waiting for a moment like this. Never, for the first time ever, Freedom River Outreach will have a rap Christmas battle. Yeah. Woo! And you know who will be rapping? The very talented Glia with your Asian swag. You know, I will practice. Yo! You know? And
we can't let her have all the fun. We have something in store for her. But just show up. You will be amazed at the talent. because there was not a stirring, not even a mouse. Boom.
Yo. So that means my Uncle Dennis, Pastor Dennis, and I will be battling, okay? Yeah. Not like that, you know, but like rap. You know, you should do this. Like, yo, bro. Yo, bro. Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know.
East side, west side, what?
Jesus. Okay.
Amen.
So if you're ready for fun, here it is. A little bit taste of it, okay? So you come. We have teams. There are more talents in our church, okay, than us. So there will be Asian swag, Scottish swag, you know. Well, Irish, Scottish, right? Right. Yeah, Scottish. Sorry, we're redheaded. So, so come, and you will see all the joy. And also, we will have Christmas here at church. Actually, on Christmas Day, we'll have Christmas lunch. Dinner. Christmas dinner.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yo.
No, we are going to have a dinner here on Christmas from 1 to 4. And again, we'll need some assistance, or we could use some help in making some food to bring so we can serve. Whoever and everyone is welcome. There's people who don't have a place to go, but the doors are going to be open here, and we're going to have a joyful and wonderful time. Okay.
Okay.
Come on. Hello. We're going to have a good day. Amen. Okay. I'm turning it back over.
Okay, let's stand up. But seriously, if you don't have a family like me, I am looking forward to come and just eat together in fellowship. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship with all our strengths, all our heart, and with everything we have. Amen.
The Savior has come, and he's brought joy to this world. And that cross is the final victory. The world looks at it, the enemy looked at it as God's defeated. But it's the final word of sacrifice, of love, of victory, of resurrection, of the power to redeem our lives. Thank you, God, for that. We're going to have communion, and very simply, it's something we do in remembrance of the cross, of what Jesus did for us, so we can receive this joy. But I want you to think of it a little differently today. We make a big deal about fellowship and having fun and eating together, our Christmas potluck, fellowship after church, because there is an aspect of a family comes together around a meal. And this is where Jesus introduced what we call communion. It was the final supper that he had with his disciples who he loved. And maybe your earthly example of a family is dysfunctional. Certainly none of us have been loved the way God intended us, because there's brokenness and sin in this world. But I want you to put that aside for a moment and just think of this as you are welcomed. You are provided for. Come to this communion table and eat. Now, this isn't much of a meal, and we're not doing it in place of a meal, because symbolically, these elements have a lot of meaning. But part of the meaning is the things that you would experience at a meal. You would experience acceptance. Yes, come. You would experience provision. Yes, you're provided for. You would experience fellowship. Yes, the rest of us are in different stages of brokenness too, but hey, we're all in here together, so come. Sit at this table with me. I want to know you, and you can know me, and we can commune. We can fellowship. Well, that's the Lord's heart. And that's what he said. Do this in remembrance of me. And remember what these symbols represent. This bread represents my body, which I give as a ransom for many. I give this so we can have this fellowship. And my blood is represented by this cup. And yes, that means I have to die. But someday, I'll have that fourth cup. This cup, he had three Passover cups with his disciples, but there was a fourth cup. He says, someday, when we are all together again in my kingdom, we'll enjoy that cup together, together. Amen. That's the emphasis. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have trusted him for your salvation by God's grace, through your faith, not by works, nothing else, then we declare you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And as the part of his body, we welcome you, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, to come and participate with us right now. So attendants, will you come forward, and they're going to hold the elements for us. And I would ask this, be mindful of the aisles, because we're kind of coming and going back and forth down the aisle. But I'm going to pray for the elements, and then we'll open up the communion table. And let's keep an attitude of worship that's appropriate, in that we're going to continue to worship, but also we want to definitely take this moment and say, Jesus, thank you. I commune with you. Scripture gives us a few more instructions. Yes, if there is aught with somebody, you know, I'd rather make it right. It's worth going and doing that and then coming back before you observe the elements. So it is holy, but you are invited to come and enjoy this fellowship and this communion with the Lord and communion with your church family. So God, we thank you. We remember you. And Lord, to imagine that night when you knew it was the last supper you would have here on earth. And you would teach even then about the significance of your life, of your ministry, of the reason you came to earth. And I know there wasn't a lot of understanding that night, but it came later when we understood, God, that you are the sacrifice for our sin. You love us that much, that you volunteered, that you said, yes, I will pay the penalty. Yes, I want this fellowship restored, and I want to be able to knock on the door of your heart and come in and share a meal with you. Jesus, thank you for that love. So bless this communion. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. As you feel led, please come and partake of the elements together.
Satan is father of lies, and most of what he says, what Satan says, is lie, except for the time when he's making accusation to us that based on what we've done, he doesn't have to lie. You know, he tells us, continually tells us what we've done is wrong. What we've done is sin, and it is right. And he doesn't have to lie, because we commit a lot of sins. We make a lot of mistakes. But what he doesn't know, what he refused to tell us, reminded us, and this is what we know already, is that all of those punishments, because of that, what we've done wrong, Bible says, you know, when the wages of sin is what? Death. And because of that, Christ had to come and died in our place. So whenever our enemy, our archenemy reminds you all the time that you, what a sinful you are, what a mistake you are, that you deserve to die, your life is a failure, all that lies coming upon you, then you just simply say, that's right. But it has been nailed on the cross. It has been nailed on the cross. Yes, that's why Jesus came. And when soldiers pierced his side, water and blood came out, meaning he was truly dead. You know what that means? When our Savior died, sinless, perfect Savior died, means all our sins, all our curse, all our iniquities has been nailed and it's been paid, and God has received that punishment. And because of that, it is no longer mine. It is no longer ours. Yes, yes, I've done all that. I'm a sinner. I've done all that sin I've committed, but that was nailed on the cross. And so that, because of that, and I will be risen with Savior. And I will be free, and I am free today, and because of what Jesus has done. And that's what we are celebrating. That's what we are so grateful for, his grace, because he took our punishment. He took my punishment that I deserve. I was hopeless and helpless, but now I'm not. I am walking free. I am a free man. Let's say to each other, you are free. You are free. You are free indeed. Amen. Ushers, please come. Let's really worship. Let's give the Lord offering. And I'm going to pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the freedom we have. And it is not free. What we know as a freedom, it didn't come as cheap. It cost the life of only begotten Son of God. What a grace. What a gift that we are celebrating this month of December. We are celebrating the birth of Savior. We're celebrating that you come and you came in my place and died in my place. Lord, we want to thank you so much. And we don't know how to express our gratitude to you. But this is our token of our appreciation, our gratitude. And receive our offering, receive our hearts, because this is part of our worship. We worship you, Savior. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I forgot I was coming up after that. Oh, wow. Wasn't that sweet? Didn't that warm all of our hearts just to see that little one up there just swinging her legs and singing? I love that. So tender. Okay, who's next week up there swinging their legs and singing? Not me. So as you know, we are doing our I Am statements, and here's some of the poses. Angie's here today to give her I Am statement. That's kind of hard to follow that, isn't it?
It is so hard to follow that. I'm going to have her read it for me.
Okay, so who does God say I am? Yeah. He says I am an atmosphere changer.
Amen.
He says I have the spirit of Paul.
Wow.
That I am someone who helps others see the beauty in life. I am attentive and make a personal connection to help people see that they are important and that they matter.
Amen.
And I am a trailblazing light in the dark.
Amen. Yeah. Woo-hoo, come here, Angie. Angie, come here. Isn't that neat? You guys, if you haven't gone to the Living Free class, you need to go and get your original design so you can start walking in who God who created you to be and do. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to pray a blessing over you, because the enemy likes to come and attack after we do this. And so, Father, I just thank you for Angie's testimony in, God, how you created her I Am statement. And, Lord, we do just thank you, and we just say, God, just fan into flame these gifts, and God, push her further than she ever thought she could by your great love. And we seal this work in the blood of Jesus, and we bind every spirit of retaliation that would come against you, Angie. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That was good.
Wow, thank you, Angie. I'm proud of you. Wow. Praise God. Yeah, I love the I am statements. That's such a highlight for me. So we'll keep going till we get through the whole class, and then by then we'll be ready to teach a new class. Okay, here's our calendar. I think it's pretty much up to date. If you missed the announcements, Galia told us we got some early morning prayer coming up, not this week, but next week. And then here's our potluck on the radar. So remember that and please prioritize it. And I'm really proud of the quality of the family photos we take that night. So if you don't want to do the mall thing or can't afford the mall thing, come here and bring the whole family and we'll give you a quality photo to commemorate this year. So the Christmas Day is, Dennis already told you, we're going to have a meal at 1 o'clock. And we're going to have church as usual Thursday night after Christmas. For those that are kind of questioning about that week, it is going to be a different week with the holiday. But we decided to do this at least once a quarter. We're calling it open mic night. So don't get confused between the open mic at Cheers and the open mic here. It's slightly different, but same concept, except at our open mic night, we seem to get a lot of blessings, a lot of prophetic words, a lot. It was the last one we had in November, I could just tell we've grown up as a church. Yeah, it was just the maturity and the depth, and I mean, they're all good, but it really kind of got us as leaders to get our heads together and say, we have to do this more than a couple times a year. We're going to do it at least four times a year and maybe more. So I wanted to emphasize that ahead of time because please prioritize that. We need to hear from you. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that is in me, that is in any other speaker or teacher that would be up here. And from what we know of the gift of prophecy, we all hear in part. None of us has the whole story. So what that means is it's very important that we do hear from you. You may feel like, oh, I can't do that. You know what? You have the Holy Spirit and He is speaking. And it may be short, that's okay. But at the end of that night, I know for me personally, I get a lot of confirmation. I get a lot of things that the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you didn't have that piece, but I gave it to somebody else. And I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. We put all our notes together, and it's just going to keep us in the center of God's will. So it's an important time for us as a church, in a church body as well. I do want to sneak in one more announcement, and this is to kind of get you motivated, I guess, because, yes, January is coming, and a year ago January, we did a 21-day fast together, and it was amazing. It's a Daniel fast, which is basically a vegetarian fast, including no coffee. And so I know, yes, that's why we need to get motivated now. We need to kind of put that on our calendar, our radar. And, you know, I always tell everyone I only drink coffee to be social, and I can quit anytime I want. So this is going to be a test. I'm going to quit for 21 days. So, but the idea, you can see I posted our goals. And I'll talk more about this the week before, or the 2 weeks before. But last year we got some amazing breakthrough during the month of January. And that really is my motivation to do it again. Church, let's press in. Let's go for it. Let's get breakthrough. And whatever personal goal you have, that's okay. But corporately, I think we have some church goals, and we just want to see God manifest His glory here, salvation. We want to see revival and healing gifts and all the spiritual gifts come online. So it's going to be for 21 days beginning January 6th. And one goal is that we'll be disciplined for 21 days and that it will be part of our heart, not just a legalistic thing that the church is doing. It'll be like, no, God, I want breakthrough. And my flesh is not the boss, and so I'm going to let it know for 21 days it doesn't get its way. But my spirit that hungers and thirsts for Christ Jesus, that's what I want to feed. And so it's going to be healthy for us physically and spiritually and emotionally. But I also challenged the church last year to read one book, and that was based on a verse I found in Daniel, where Daniel and his friends all had an unusual aptitude. They had the ability to learn and to know things that others did not. And for some reason, it jumped off the page to me, and I thought, man, I want that. I want that unusual aptitude. I want my brain to have that kind of health. And so I challenge you. We got some a library that we collected last year of some really fun, easy read books, mostly biographies of missionaries and ordinary people that did supernatural things for God. So again, I'll show you some of those and offer them to you. But the challenge is, rather than getting our entertainment maybe in usual channels, we turn that off and we go to getting our entertainment based on historical Christians and leaders, men and women of faith, and be encouraged that way. So the whole purpose of all of that, after 21 days, as Daniel prayed for 21 days, that angel arrived, that angel broke through. And that angel said, Daniel, the second you set your heart to understanding, the order was given in heaven, and I was sent. But for 21 days, there was resistance. He had to call for help in the spiritual battle. For when the order was given to answer Daniel's prayer, to it actually manifesting and arriving here on earth, 21 days. That's why we're doing this for 21 days. And I pray that 21st day, not the 19th day, not the 20th day, but that 21st day, we're going to be disciplined and we're going to experience that breakthrough in our lives, in our families, in our church family. So raise the expectations, but I wanted to give you ample warning because I know it's a little bit of not only preparing psychologically, but you have to kind of shop a little differently. At least I know I do. I have to kind of prepare for that kind of a diet. So again, that's coming up in January. I'm actually looking forward to it because I know the value from last year. We've actually done it for a couple years, but last year seems so significant. If we could keep that momentum going, I know you will be super, super blessed. So that's why I wanted to talk about that now. I want to do just a 3-week series starting today. This is Sunday number one, talking about John, the Gospel of John, chapter one, the first couple of verses. And if you're like me and you've read through these verses before, you've probably seen, gee, they're very poetic, a little abstract, a little hard to understand. So I'm just going to kind of skip past that and get on to the narrative of the Gospel of John that has so many good truths and so many really cool things. But I wanted to spend 3 weeks and take our time on this and kind of dive in, and not to go too deep, but to get some revelation for us of just how significant this time of year is and what the whole world celebrates. Granted, many people have no idea what they're celebrating, but I don't want to be in the category of a follower of Jesus Christ or a Christian and not understand what I'm celebrating. So at least for us, I think if anybody, we should be experts in what the incarnation or what the nativity stands for. And I understand it probably didn't happen on December 25th. I'm actually just kind of glad that our culture picks a day to remember it and to celebrate it. So I don't care what day of the year it is that we pick, but it's going to be a great chance to understand and maybe possibly have a discussion with your peers, with your friends, because everybody likes to celebrate Christmas on some level, and maybe with your depth of understanding, God will use that and give you a heart and the words to speak to share with others. So this is called the the prologue. And that's why I say many times I'm guilty of this. As I'm reading the Gospel of John, I'll kind of just zip through the prologue and then go on to where he starts talking about the things that he firsthand witnessed. So remember, John is one of the 12 disciples. And I put the first part of the prologue in the New American Standard Updated. People ask me what that stands for. This is a little more of a literal version, but and this is the version I'm used to, and maybe you have heard, and maybe you're used to. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you read that and you hear, wow, kind of poetic. Okay, I don't get it. A little confusing, but I like poetry, and so I'm seeing that there's some interesting kind of vocabulary there. Well, this is the New Living Translation, and they've kind of updated the vocabulary for us. And here's what John 1:1 is actually saying. In the beginning, the Word already existed. It's always been. Now, that might mess with your brain, the concept of something that has always been. But can I suggest to you that it doesn't break any rules of logic? You know what breaks a rule of logic? Is that there was nothing, and then all of a sudden, there was something. Okay, that breaks the rule of logic, something out of nothing. Now, it's hard for my brain to wrap around something always existed, but at least it doesn't break a rule of logic. This is truth. Now, John, one of these young men, disciple, kind of a cast-off. No other rabbi would have him, but Jesus comes along and says, follow me, and he says, okay. He had faith, and he says, wow, I've witnessed so many things, I got to write this down. Where do I start? Have you ever felt that writer's block? Have you ever felt like, oh man, I got a great idea, I got, you know, here's this concept, here's it. But where do you start? Sometimes where to start is the most difficult part. And if you can get started, then it seems to flow. Well, I don't know how John did this. Well, I do know how he did it. It's the Holy Spirit gave him revelation, gave him inspiration. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words. Now, a lot of people have guessed over the centuries, oh, well, maybe it was a poem. Maybe it was a hymn. Maybe it was something that the first century believers all recited one to another. Yeah, amen. Could be. Probably not, but very well could be. Not to discount that, but I believe, and this is basically supported by my personal thought and a lot of study, that, you know what, the Holy Spirit said, John, you're going to write a gospel account of the events you witnessed. And by the way, start with this prologue. Start at the beginning. Okay, where is the beginning? Genesis 1:1? Well, that's the beginning of this earth. Okay, well, the nativity scene with these two teenagers, Mary and Joseph, and you know, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Start there. Well, that's the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. But it's not the beginning of Jesus. And I think we understand that, and we need to realize Jesus always was. Always was. That is a claim of deity. That the only one that can claim that is God. All right. In the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God. And here we have it. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. And by the way, if you do start in Genesis 1, and 2 and 3, you will see the plural pronoun where God is having a discussion. He says, let us make man in our image, meaning, yes, who's God talking to? Yeah, he's talking to his Son and the Holy Spirit. The earth was dark and void, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. So the triune nature of God is all represented in the creation account. But look at this. God created everything through him. Now, this is interesting, too, because when John starts with this language, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, that's really the Greek word logos. It really is just mean like what you and I would say printed or spoken word. So we kind of think of that. I mean, it is a noun. We kind of think of that as an object. But then pretty quickly, it says that the Word, it uses a personal pronoun. He existed. Okay, so is the Word an object or is the Word a person? Well, the way John is using this, he's saying, this is a person. This is a person. The Word of God is a person. And I'm going to write about him through, you know, many chapters to come, but I'm giving you a little prologue. I'm giving you a little advance into who I'm going to be talking about. Make no mistake, he is God. Make no mistake, he is a person. And the creative power came through him. Everything that God created through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life. This is an important concept and one that I'll ask you to make a little mental note of. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's going to be our theme for the next 3 weeks. There's a lot of darkness. And depending where you spend your time and where you get your news, it can be pretty overwhelming. And it can seem very, very dark. But I don't want you to focus on that. You are light because you have the light. And this is the theme that John uses. And guess what? In the first century, just like today, things were dark. Now, that's hard to imagine because we look around and we go, wow, the depravity of man. Can it get worse? There is awful stuff out there, and you would be right. But you know what? The condition of man has not changed over the centuries. It's always been dark. But something has pierced that darkness, and I hope you catch the promise here, and I hope you catch the optimism of this. The darkness will never be able to extinguish this light. It may be pretty boastful. It may be pretty intimidating. It would say, hey, I mean, just think of the cross. I mean, Satan must have been high-fiving with the demons like, we won. Look what we did. He is dead. He is dead, as Pastor Michael shared. Look at that. That Jesus is dead. I mean, they must have thought, what a victory, till Sunday morning, and that stone is rolled away, and that tomb is empty, and it's what you and I celebrate every Easter. Wow. Yes, there looked like a victory to the darkness, but the darkness will never be able to extinguish the light. Don't forget that. And also, don't forget your role of who you and I are. So let's go over this. The beginning for Jesus is not when he appears on earth. I think we understand that. But look at this. I found this passage in 1 Peter. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Wow. That's a long time. If we just went back to when the world began, that's a long time. And to have a plan that takes that long to unfold, you know, using just a biblical timeline, that's still 9,000 years, 8,000 plus, depending how you work out your calendar. That's a long time. I know I'm working hard to plan a week ahead of time. I can't even think of a plan that would be 9,000 years ahead of time. But think of this. When you plan something, why do you do it? I mean, number one, it's important, right? Number two, you want to do it. You don't want to miss it, so I want to plan it. I want to have it. I want to accomplish it. There's something, it's important. You're important to God. And if nothing else says, I love you this much, understand that God has been planning your salvation for a long, long time. It's not an afterthought. It's not of like, Oh, gee, they sinned. Okay, now what do we do? I don't know. Does anybody have a good idea? No! God in his wisdom knew this. God in his wisdom said, hey, let's create man in our own image. And by the way, let's give him choice. Because we want a relationship, but it needs to be voluntary. Well, okay, there's a problem with choice. And that is, what if they choose to reject? Well, it has to be choice. And yes, we'll take that risk. But then when you and I were still enemies of God, his love broke through. He loves us that much, and he was planning on this. It's not afterthought. It's not plan B. It's what God planned long before the world began. And Jesus was a voluntary participant. He said, yes, I will do this. I will pay the penalty. I will leave my place in heaven of glory and become a baby and do this because I love them that much. And now he has revealed to us in these last days this plan that has been in the works for all these years. The Gospel of John is the only biblical writer that starts here basically with God. Not when God came to earth, not when the earth began, but he starts basically with God who has always been. Jesus is described as the Word, but Logos, you need